This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start today with Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren. Some Mondays just have a lot going on. The government has dodged another shutdown, and tomorrow the Supreme Court takes up a case on the future of a key drug in medication abortions. And by the way, taxes are due 3 weeks from today. Senator Warren called us this morning, and I started there. I asked her if she has her taxes done yet.
Yes. But for anyone whose taxes aren't done yet, we've got some good news for them. New federal program. It's just a trial here that they're running for direct file that you can file directly with the IRS and not have to go to TurboTax or someplace else and pay money and have other people have access to your tax information. You can do this straight with the government. There's a real new opportunity here for folks in Massachusetts. It's a pilot program, and it's running here in Massachusetts. So I hope people will try it.
So one of 12 states, Massachusetts is. I just heard two benefits that you're sort of thinking about. One is cost. Obviously, it's free. The other, you know, privacy of people's information. What's the top priority here, Senator? Why do you want this pilot to succeed?
I want this pilot to succeed because the average taxpayer today pays at least $150 and spends 9 hours preparing their taxes. And look, I get it. Nobody wants to pay their taxes, but you shouldn't have to pay money to pay your taxes. In most places around the world, people can pay their taxes directly to the government. I've been pushing for this for years. Save money, make it easier, make it secure. And you know who's been fighting me every inch of the way are these big tax preparation companies that literally make billions of dollars off people who are just trying to pay their taxes. So finally got the IRS to step up and bless them. They really are doing it. They put together this pilot program. They're doing it in 12 states. So that anyone who has a pretty simple tax return, that's where they're starting, W-2 income, you know, salaried income, or Social Security or unemployment, can go to directfile, that's one word, .irs.gov, and see if they're eligible and file directly. And then, if they want to, they can hang around and give the IRS some feedback on whether the site worked well for them. Free, easy, and secure. That is the government not working for big tax companies. It's the government working for people.
So lots to get to today since we're talking about, you know, basically an app that you can use online. Let's stay with apps for a minute. I want to talk about TikTok and the move by the U.S. House to ban it. I'm going to give you a couple of quotes. There were opposing viewpoints by members of the delegation in the Boston Globe towards the end of the week last week. So Congressman Jim McGovern writes, quote, TikTok is incorporated in doing business in the United States, which makes it subject to U.S. law, forcing a sale from its Beijing-based parent company, ByteDance, won't stop it from collecting information. Our weak privacy laws allow them to get away with it, end quote, meaning sharing data. Jake Auchincloss writes the opposing view, and here are some excerpts from his. Quote, TikTok is a special instance of the general problem. U.S. citizens have the sacrosanct right to post what they believe, but there's no concomitant right for that post to be amplified, especially by adversaries. An algorithm controlled by an adversary isn't protected by the Constitution, end quote. So my question, Senator, is this a both-and argument? Need more data privacy laws, but also a particular instance with TikTok because of national security, where there's a short-term need to essentially force it out of the hands of the Chinese government?
So you are right to identify. There's a both-and problem here. We have long in the media had concerns about foreign ownership. And so there are restrictions and have been on television stations and radio and so on. And I get why there are special concerns about foreign ownership. But understand this, changing ownership structure alone is not going to fix this problem. Congressman McGovern is exactly right. The problem is that we have a whole range of social media companies that have no basic restrictions. They are insulated from being sued under something called Section 230, and at the same time, no other legal curbs in place. There is no industry in America that operates like that. So this is a case where I actually have a plan for this, and I hope you're sitting down because this may shock you. I have a bill with Senator Lindsey Graham that the two of us have worked on, and the idea is to say we need some curbs that apply across the board. Let's not just pick one company and say it presents a problem. If people are stealing your data and selling it, that's a problem regardless of which company does it.
So if you could get that passed.
If children are being targeted, it's a problem regardless of who's doing it.
So if you could get that passed, would you support then also this move to force TikTok out of Chinese ownership?
If you get that passed, you don't need. That's the smaller bill. What you need is you need the overall structure. We need to get the curbs in place, and we need to get a regulator in place for them. And I'm just going to add one more part. We need to muscle up our antitrust laws in this area so that we've got more competition, so more app developers, for example, can participate in these markets. So we need to change overall so that it's no longer the case that social media companies are the one place where it's the Wild West and they have no regulation of any kind. There's no other industry that gets to do that. And social media has now shown, big tech companies have now shown, that there are real risks to our kids, to ourselves, to our democracy by letting these guys just go with no regulations, no responsibilities, no legal controls on what they do.
So I'm going to keep us moving. There's a lot in the news this week. Tomorrow, the Supreme Court hears the case that's seeking to restrict access to mifepristone, one of two medications that can be used in medication abortions. And the basis of the case essentially challenges the FDA's determination of its safety back a quarter century ago. It would eliminate telehealth access to the pill as well as mail order access. It would require patients to visit a clinic three times before getting the prescription. And I'm going to note for listeners, there's another drug, misoprostol, also used in medication abortion, often in conjunction with this one in question, mifepristone, but it's considered safe on its own, just for context. You said at a press conference recently that this case is, quote, purely about partisan politics, not medical science, end quote.
Yep.
So if the court rules in favor of the in favor of the plaintiffs and thus weakens the FDA's scientific oversight of its medications, are you worried that it opens a Pandora's box on other medications that people might find objectionable on grounds other than scientific grounds, like the other medication abortion drug, like contraception, et cetera?
Absolutely, I am worried about this. Because understand, mifepristone was approved 20 years ago by the FDA. It has been used safely and effectively in all that time. Half of all abortions in this country are medication abortions. And that's true right here in Massachusetts. What this case is about is trying to cut access to abortion. It's not about the safety of the drug. And understand, if they can cut access to abortion, because politically that's what they want to do, then they can use the courts and this same move to cut access to what comes next, HIV prevention drugs, the drugs that are necessary for gender-affirming care, certain kinds of emergency contraception. It means all of it potentially is now politicized, and it is the courts with extremist judges appointed by Donald Trump who have the opportunity to start driving nationally policies that the American people do not support.
So I hear you.
That's
on that.
Yep.
I want to stay in the space of science versus non-science for a second, because so many of our federal agencies are in that space. And I am so struck by your argument that a non-science argument could win on a scientific question, and what mm-hmm. that could do on research, science and engineering, environmental regulations, et cetera. It feels so much bigger than just, and I understand reproductive health is big, Senator, but it feels so much bigger in terms of the government and its ability to make determinations based on scientific evidence.
You are absolutely right on that. This is the first post-Dobbs decision on abortion. And many people were, I was shocked when after each of these justices had come in and lifted a hand and said, no, no, we will respect precedent. They turned around and overturned Roe versus Wade, took away a constitutional right for the first time in our nation's history. And now they're being invited by extremists to take away the decision-making authority of the scientists who followed all the rules, who followed best practices, and frankly, whose judgments have been borne out. 20 years of safe, effective use of this drug, and now that drug and that process is hauled in front of the Supreme Court on the pretext that 20 years ago, someone thinks, they didn't dot a couple of I's and cross a couple of T's. So a judge can decide that drug will be available nowhere in America, not in red states, not in blue states. No one will have it. And that's taking scientific judgment out of the hands of the scientists. It's taking their expertise away and saying judges, for their own political reasons, can just substitute their own judgment. And where that goes, there are no boundaries. You're right. We start by talking about drugs, but who knows where it goes from here in terms of federal contracting and research and other decisions that we make. This is a way of saying the politics of the right wing are more important than the scientific judgment of those who are trying to just keep us safe and provide care.
I'm going to take us to one more subject before I know you run out of time. The Senate voted 74-24 to approve the $1.2 trillion package that gets signed by the president over the weekend, keeps departments like Homeland and Treasury funded through the 30th September. There are compromises, more beds for people coming across the southern border, but also more border officers, a 9% increase in one of the sources of child care funding. Did you not get something that you wanted? You supported, you voted to pass it. Was there something you wanted that you didn't get?
Yes. I wanted there to be money for UNRWA to be able to support humanitarian relief in Gaza.
And this is a UN agency.
Yes.
Yes.
And the Republicans flatly blocked that and said no, that they would not let it go forward. And that is the infrastructure that distributes food and clean water to people who are in such desperate states. I think that's a terrible mistake. There are nearly 2 million people who are on the verge of starvation, and getting humanitarian relief to them is not only about showing up with food and water, it's about being able to distribute that to all of the families who need it.
The push there was
Republicans said they wouldn't go forward.
The push there was
any UNRWA funding.
Was claims by Israel that people working for that UN agency participated with Hamas in the attack on October 7th. If that is credible, then what is the appropriate response instead, Senator?
Understand this. They've gone through it. They've done a full investigation. And of course, anybody who participated in the terrorist attack has to be separated from UNRWA, has to be fired, has to be insulated from it. But UNRWA is the infrastructure for Gaza. UNRWA is a lot of good people, including a lot of people who've lost their lives since October 7th in the bombings. UNRWA is the infrastructure that, without which, we're going to watch more and more people starve to death in the region. And even everyone around the world pretty much acknowledges that if you don't have UNRWA, you don't have a way to get that food and water down on the ground to the people who need it. I believe we need to support that because humanitarian relief is a part of both international law and a part of domestic law. We need to get that help to the people who need it most.
And UNRWA being United Nations Relief and Works Agency. Yes. I know you are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Thank you for having me. It's always good to talk to you.